Sandy's on the air, making Buffalo proud. He's bigger than life and twice as loud. News Talk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach. Beach and Company.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. It's a sunny day, and it's Friday, and it's payday. So it doesn't get better than that. Got a lot to talk about today, including, I told you, let the ridiculous moves from Albany continue now that they have control of both houses and the governor's office. Buckle your seatbelt.
930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach.
All righty, looking like a decent day. Tony, you look a little pooped. Your daughter running you around the house too much? Yeah, what's going on with you?
She is a handful.
She's got a lot of energy.
She really does, and you know the amount of playing I have to do with her. But trying to get her focused to do her homework and studying, well, that's a bit much.
Think about it. You've already absorbed most of what the planet has to offer. At her age, every day there's something new she's learning that she hadn't seen before or done before, and it's exciting. I mean, and a kid gets excited by learning new things, so it's a whole different mindset when you're a kid. Remember, when you were a kid, you could hardly wait to get up in the morning and get started?
I wish she was like that. She hates getting up in the morning.
Does she really?
Yeah, she's cranky.
Does she tire herself out, or does she just, like the Energizer Bunny, just keeps going and going and going?
Now, most nights between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, she wants to go to bed.
Yeah? All right. Well, that's not bad. So no. She could get a good night's sleep going to bed that early.
Yeah, you would think, but I don't have a feeling she needs more.
And now I was carousing around and perusing and carousing the TV dial and another show like a thousand other shows. Last night I ran across Flip or Flop. I had not seen it before. The format's exactly the same as The Fixer Upper. It's exactly the same as Flipping Las Vegas, Zombie Flipping. I mean, they're all basically alike, except this one's a little different. They have an absolute hot blonde like you can't believe. Now, Buzzy, you're telling me that you know about that show, and that's one of your favorite shows.
Oh, I mean, as someone who watches a lot of HGTV,
yeah,
that is one of the better shows. I mean, it's still a lot of situational things that are
sure
made up for the
yeah,
show.
Obviously.
But yeah, the earlier episodes, a lot better than the newer ones, because now the interaction between them are so fake, because you know they're divorced and she's remarried.
Oh, are they divorced?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I only saw it last night. Oh, is that the one that was a big deal when they announced she was going to get a divorce, but they were still going to do the show together?
Still do the show together, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, A lot happened around, but the show itself, you're right, it's a lot like those other ones, but they do make it quite entertaining.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting. You see things that can be done. I also watched Million Dollar Listings in California, okay? Now, I had seen Million Dollar Listings in New York City, and I hated it because I hated the people. The people that were on there were pains in the you-know-what, and I'm thinking, this is a great representation of New York. They just were awful people, okay? Now, we go to the ones in L.A., Million Dollar Listings, which, by the way, is not even entry-level in parts of L.A., okay? Now, they were showing, they were talking about listing a $45 million house. $45 million, they were going to have a party at the house, but it had to be roped off like a museum because the owner didn't want the riffraff sitting on his $45,000 couch and things like that. All right, now here's one of the things they said. The pluses and minuses of listing this house. One of the agents said to the other, and they're serious. He said, well, of course, the advantage is always an advantage to have the cheapest house on the block. That was the cheapest house on the block, and it was $45 million. That's the poor one. That's the one who have to go for government cheese.
A fix-me-upper.
The $45 million one. And then one of the agents, some goofball, was laughing and whatever, and he spilled wine on the bed. Wine on the bed. And he was in big trouble with fellow agents because they knew that the owner of this house was not going to be pleased. So he said, send me the bill. I don't know if you just bring it in and have it dry clean. God knows what it's made out of, but that's what they did. It didn't even look like a house, though. It looked like a museum slash business. It looked more like a business, a display. They had display cases and things like that. If I had $45 million, which I don't, I wouldn't buy that house simply because it doesn't look like a home. It looks like just a house.
You ever see my dream lottery home on HGTV?
No, I've seen that it's on, but no. What, do they just try and find outrageously beautiful and expensive houses?
Well, there's people who've won the lottery, and they I won such and such. I'd like to spend this much on my new house.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and there was a good couple format from Buffalo a few seasons ago.
Oh, yeah? They won a lottery?
They won like a take five or something, but they okay. put it – I mean, any excuse to put them on this show, Sandy. It doesn't have to be the big lottery. And they picked out – I hate to be mean, the ugliest house I've ever seen.
I know there was a Buffalo couple who were both medical students on one of these type shows.
House hunters.
I hated those.
Yes,
Buffalo.
Yes.
I really did. I'm sorry they're from Buffalo. In fact, I could hardly wait to get on the air to mention publicly that I hated them, hoping somebody that knows them told them. Because here they walk in this house and keep in mind, they hated everything. Oh, no, oh, yeah, wrong color. No, it's too small. No, there's an Abercrombie effect. Oh, please, stop it. Just stop it. Go through the house. You either like it or you don't. Either make an offer or you don't. But we don't need you to approve every salt shaker that the previous owner has. That's why the real estate people don't want you if you own the house. You know, they don't want you there when they're showing it. Like at an open house or something. I'm sure they don't have an open house on that $45 million, but they send invitations to a party at the house to people who could afford the house. So if you got an invitation to the party, you are in the upper echelon. But I got a kick out of something, okay? Out of all the people they showed driving up to the house so that the valet could park the car, not one of them had a better car than mine. Not one of them. So apparently they don't spend their money on cars as much as they do on houses.
So they have no taste.
Yeah. It's but it was interesting. The thing with those, the ones I like the best are the log cabin people because they're the most realistic. And I love log cabins.
Same here.
I would love to have a log cabin. And they're more realistic, and the houses are more realistic. And they usually come with some grounds. This $45 million house, you could reach out and touch your neighbor's house. I mean, it was that tight.
No, thank you.
No, me neither. So I'm going to wire them today, Tony, and tell them not to invite us to the next open house.
Good.
We'll
idea.
Take a break on News Radio 930 WBEN. Somebody texted when I mentioned the $45,000 couch that the owner of this estate in Los Angeles had. He says, $45,000 couch. An old friend of mine told me they make gold yo-yos for rich people. Every once in a while, you'll see something like that. The first example I ever saw of that was a chandelier in a Rolls Royce for Rod Stewart. And that stuck with me for some reason. I always thought that was cool. But you look at it, that's what they do in order to make things more expensive so you have bragging rights. Like, look at motorhomes. If the difference between an entry-level motorhome and the absolute top of the line are really what they add to it. For instance, once you go to the best chassis, which is probably a Prevost, P-R-E-V-O-T, okay, and then you go to a diesel pusher engine setup, beyond that, the interiors are basically very similar except that they'll use better quality materials in them. And they might put things in them that are a little quirky, a little different. Like instead of having a TV mounted in a certain position, it'll come up from a hidden position with a push of a button. Things like that. But the bottom line is they try to come up with things so rich people can find ways to spend more money than they have to for the same object. All right, if you guys suddenly won the lottery and you had to buy a house, okay, and you wanted to buy your dream house for yourself, not for your parents or anybody else, for yourself, what would be something that would be an absolute must-have? Would it be a swimming pool? Would it be on the ocean? Would it be in the woods, you know, with a lot of trees What would your must-have be if you won the lottery?
Definitely would have to have lots of land.
Yeah, give you breathing room.
Yeah, breathing room, be able to have fun with four-wheelers and dirt bikes,
that's
things
true.
Like that.
Very nice.
If it could be by the water, that would be okay.
River or ocean? Or lake?
Lake would be fine.
I think lake would be the best. You know, if I wanted to live near a lake, you know what? Lake, I live Lake Chautauqua. Because, first of all, it's long. If you had a small boat, I don't swim. So I'd have a life jacket. It's long, and at least you can see the shore on both sides. In case anything happened, you could run to the shore. All right, so that's what you like. Mr. Beamer, suppose you suddenly won the big lottery and you needed a house, what would you get?
You know, that's a great question, Sandy, because as I stated, I watch a lot of HGTV. So a lot, I mean, it just depends on what show I just got done watching.
A lot of ideas of things you'd like.
You know, they have the show Beachfront Bargain Hunt. And the houses on there, beautiful, like ideal oceanfront house.
Pay through the nose near water.
Exactly. But then I think if it's something here in Buffalo, I think I'm more like you, something on the water, because it would look beautiful in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, definitely something with a big kitchen and a nice living area. I like that open floor plan where you have the kitchen that kind of opens up
into
the living area.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd have to have like an entertainment room, an 80-inch plus TV.
Home theater.
Yes. I mean.
Home theater.
It wouldn't be as much about the house as it would be about the electronics inside the house.
Oh, okay, because there's a lot of cool stuff to have now, electronics. I'd get somebody that really knew electronics to go with me. Whenever I'm trying to do something that's out of my range, I get somebody who's really into it and knows what they're doing, and I listen to them.
No doubt I would have a hangar or a barn to store a lot of cars.
Oh, I thought you were going to say an airplane.
No.
Oh, yeah, a place.
I have to have my cars.
Place to store your cars would be nice. But I think the problem with that is that they're nice and clean. And they're in a hermetically sealed, showroom. You probably don't want to take them out and beat on them.
I would use them.
Yeah, okay. Beat on them and then hand them over to Raul, your assistant, and have him clean them up.
You know, now I know I'm going around the question a little bit, but I might not even buy like a big house with everything. I might have a house here in Buffalo and then a beach house in Sunset Beach, North Carolina.
More than one house. How about that? I don't think I'd want two houses. I'd want one. And I think it would be nice if it was near the water, even though I don't swim. I think there's something serene and peaceful about the water. If I were doing it today, I'd probably see what's available in Chautauqua Lake. There's something about, if it's good enough for the NFL commissioner, it's good enough for me.
You drive out, go out by Wilson or Cambridge.
Oh, Wilson's very nice.
Those areas. It's
very nice
awesome.
Up there, too. Yeah. All right, so I'm watching those shows, and the problem with watching those shows, as Joe just pointed out, is that some woman named Bernadette, I think.
I've heard that name.
Yeah. It gives her ideas. And every one of those ideas, I see a hammer going into the wall or, a paint roller or a sprayer and lots of updating and changing and whatever.
Or a checkbook.
Ka-ching, 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 yes.
I watch those shows. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And then I look around and remember, yeah, I live in a studio apartment.
Well, it gives you something to shoot for, though. It really does.
Eventually, yeah.
I don't need opulent. I don't need a museum. No. I want something that's comfortable
useful.
And nice.
Useful.
Yeah, useful. Usable.
Yes.
And not worry if you have guests over the house if they're going to spill something on your $45,000 couch.
Yeah, I would not have a $45,000.
It's an obscene to have a $45,000 couch. Now, you earned it. You can spend it the way you want. But I think anybody who says, that's a nice couch, how much you want for it? $45,000. Oh, yeah, okay, send it over. You got too much money.
Yeah.
You're just looking at a way to burn it because that's just too much. I wouldn't pay more than $43,000 for a good couch.
So you guys need to watch the food stuff I do, and then you don't have to think like that.
Tony, as you know, I split my time between HGTV and I love Food Network, especially today, Friday, all-day diner drive-ins and dives marathon. Sunday nights, guys' grocery games. Oh, but don't worry. I get my fix of Food Network.
Well, think about it.
How about the best thing I ever ate? Check that out.
I'll have to check that one out.
Think about it like this. With food, There's not that much separation between you and the ultra rich, because yeah, they can fancy it up a little bit, but it's basically beef, chicken, you know, whatever. They can make it look like a piece of art, but it's still the same basic food.
Right.
Foo-fooed up a little bit, but it's still that.
Burgers, barbecue.
Oh, burgers.
Stuff like that. Oh,
I could live on burgers and pasta my whole life.
Burgers and barbecue for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. If we were shipwrecked, I want to be shipwrecked with you because of that. And Buzz, you told me about something available called the Sunrise Platter or something?
The Sunrise Sampler at Cracker Barrel. Let me tell you about this.
What's in it?
Two eggs, a hash brown casserole, a link of sausage, ham, and bacon.
Wow.
Fried apples.
Keeps on coming.
Grits.
Bring it on.
Two biscuits and gravy.
You eat all that?
And I added three pancakes to it yesterday.
Wow, Tony.
Side of toast.
He's taking over your territory.
Love it.
That sounds like something you would order.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll tell you, when he told me about it, next time I go there, because I like going there. It's good. I'm going to order it.
I also followed it up with a 90-plus workout of nothing but cardio.
I'll skip that. But I'll go with the rest of it.
I did some stretching.
If I give up the grits, do I still have to do the workout? Yeah, you stretch. Your stretching is reaching across the table. Here.
Yeah, I think I'll take another one.
Give me another one.
Although Samantha was helping me stretch yesterday.
Yeah, your kids have a healthy appetite. They like to eat.
Well, they're very picky. When Nick, if he finds something he likes, he will eat it. Samantha, she's terrible.
I could eat the same meal every day for a year if I liked it.
Well, they have the same lunch every day, that's for sure. Peanut butter and jelly.
Well, that's the all-around, everyday kids' lunch. All right, when we come back, I saw a letter to the editor today in the Buffalo News that really ticked me off, not just for the content, but the way they characterize people that don't agree with them. All right? On News Radio 930, WBEN. Back with the Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach, catching up on the text board, which is 30930. If you dial that up, you will come directly to a large screen right in front of me. This says, Buzzy, that's Joseph Beamer or J.D. Beamer, depending on what shift he's on. Buzzy would buy a gold Speedo. Actually, I think a gold Speedo would make a lot of sense. You know, you'd wear it on the beach and people would come up and say, is that a gold bar? Or are you just happy to be wearing the gold Speedo? They go prospecting for gold. That would be nice. Would you buy a gold Speedo if they sold gold Speedos?
You know, Sandy, I think at this point in my life, I've retired the wearing of Speedos.
Oh, yeah. You're past Speedo already?
You know, it's part of that new image thing I'm
okay,
going for.
Less Speedo, more business suit.
Exactly.
All right.
Less Speedo, more Joe. But I'm never going to rule it out completely in the future.
On just some special occasion.
Exactly.
Thank you. Here's another one. No question, if I won the lottery, I would buy a much bigger catamaran sailboat and live in it in Buffalo in the summer and Florida in the winter. That sounds like if you love the water and some of these things that he's like this poster is talking about, you can live in those. That'd be kind of cool, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be neat.
Be in warm weather all the time. Here's another. I think this one goes for me and Tony too. I would want 100 acres and a huge garage. Absolutely. A garage is so important to me. A garage is almost as important as a house.
The bigger question for me would be, what am I putting in the garage?
Yeah, you got to have something to put in the garage. But it's nice to have an extra vehicle that is just in the summer or just in the winter. That's very nice.
I figure I'd have to have at least one foreign sports car.
Okay.
Maybe Ferrari or Lamborghini.
Boom, boom, boom.
I would have to have a muscle car, most likely a GTO.
Okay.
GTO. A truck.
A truck for the winter.
One of that. Maybe a 1940 or 41 Willys.
Got to get a big garage there, Tony.
Yeah, and win a big lottery to fill all this stuff in.
That'd be very nice.
Yeah, those kind of toys I would want.
Tinker with, except you have
maybe
an advantage I don't have. You know about mechanics and I don't. Here's what I know about mechanics. Push the button and the door opens. That's about it. I know nothing under the hood. And now they've even hidden some things that used to be obvious. Sometimes you got to look for the battery. Sometimes the battery is under the back seat. And sometimes they have two little terminals for charging the battery. So you hook up to the terminals instead of the battery. And so I'm lost under the hood, I'm telling you.
You know, I'm pretty much lost on the newer vehicles. That's why I'll go take it to Jim Zakia. He knows this stuff better than I do. Let him handle it. But give me one of the old cars, you know, like a Camaro from the late 60s, early 70s.
I'd like to drive one of those to see. They got the power to see the difference between that and a modern car. I'm sure in the suspension and things. That they're different, but I don't know how they would feel to drive.
In the programs that I've watched on car restoration, when they've taken an old, you know, Challenger or Cuda or GTO or something like that, and they put in modern suspension, the big Bembro brakes.
Sure.
And, they said that the handling is incredible, much different than, you know, manufacturing.
From those days.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Plus, you see a lot of those old cars, how thin the tires were. There wasn't much rubber on the road.
Yeah, they didn't put a big footprint down.
Right.
All right. There I am, just leafing through the Buffalo News this morning, as I do almost every day. And I get to the another voice. And this other voice today kind of circles around the Department of Motor Vehicles in New York State. Now you're saying, Sandy, what would get you interested in an op-ed piece about the Motor Vehicle Department? Well, it was written by a woman named Jennifer Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R. She's a co-founder of Justice for Migrant Families Western New York. Okay? Now, the first part of it doesn't bother me that much. We've covered that ground. I have a position on it. It's near the end that it kind of gets to me. And see how you feel about it. Jennifer Connor wrote, last week, Governor Andrew Cuomo officially announced the nomination of Buffalo Comptroller Mark Schroeder for appointment as Department of Motor Vehicles Commissioner. Okay, we knew that. Absolutely. By the way, New York State is quirky. Do you know at one time New York State had a commissioner of motor vehicles from here, a friend of mine, a lovely woman. She was commissioner of motor vehicles, but had no license and didn't drive. She just never got a license. And she was commissioner of motor vehicles, and she was good. She got the job done. Somebody had to drive her there, but still, do you find that quirky? You find that a little quirky, because I do.
Yeah, definitely.
And every time I see her, and I saw her recently, a couple of months ago, I think, and I jive her a little bit about that, but she's a nice woman, okay? So Mark Schroeder is going to be Commissioner of Motor Vehicles, and Schroeder immediately faced questions about proposed legislation that would restore driver's license access to undocumented New Yorkers. So here we go. Undocumented. You see, I love this, Jennifer, when you're doing an op-ed piece, don't you think you should tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, it's true that they're undocumented, but it's also true that they're illegal. Say it. Come on, say it, would you please? Illegal. Because a lot of this, as we go further up in this piece, will be important to say illegal instead of just undocumented. The respondents said, I will implement the law. So Schroeder said he will do what the law tells him to do as Commissioner of Motor Vehicles. He says he intends to follow the lead of New York lawmakers who are poised to pass the Driver's License Access and Privacy Act. Let's guess what that is. And we're going to go through a lot of stuff like this in Albany now that it's totally controlled by Democrats. The bill proposes making New York standard license accessible to all qualified drivers, regardless of immigration status. So in other words, you're illegal, you can get a license in New York State. Welcome, welcome. Yes, here's your driver's license. We understand you're illegal. Under the state's new Real ID compliant licensing system, a standard license is for driving purposes only and cannot be used for federal purposes, such as boarding an airplane. The bill would directly benefit some 800,000 New Yorkers who are currently prevented from obtaining a license due to their immigration status. So there is a number that we can put some justice to, because it's an advocate that's presenting it. So apparently we have 800,000, and that's just the ones who are at least 16 years old or older. So it doesn't count those under 16 that we have in New York State, 800,000. Getting back to it. However, virtually all of New Yorkers stand to benefit. Here we go. You want to buy some swampland? Here it is. I can tell you right now. Virtually all New Yorkers stand to benefit from the measure. Other states with similar laws have seen improved traffic safety. Oh, yeah. I think it's a lot safer on the road when people can't read the street signs. Absolutely. Luckily, some of them have little stick figures on them, and some of them, are shape. But I think it's important not to be able to recognize the language of English when you're driving a 4,000-pound truck. All right? That sounds good to me. They have seen improved traffic safety and lower insurance rates due to significant decreases in the number of unlicensed and uninsured drivers. Oh, absolutely. That is so logical that the more unlicensed and uninsured drivers you have driving with the new licenses, it's going to be a lot safer just because of that. I'm just telling you. All right. The bill would also have a positive impact on families throughout our region, especially farmers and immigrant workers that depend to harvest the crops and milk the cows. Without access to driver's licenses, immigrant workers face many barriers to seeking and maintaining employment to agriculture, as well as an increased risk of detention and deportation over routine traffic stops. You see, the person writing this, Jennifer Connor, seems to realize that you're starting with a base of being here illegally. You can dress it up all you want. You can call it whatever you want, but it's still illegal, illegal, illegal. Now we get to the thing that really annoyed me. Okay, this is the thing that made me decide to do this for a subject. Western New Yorkers deserve a reasoned assessment of the benefits of expanding driver's license access, not one rooted in misinformation or bigotry. All right. I'll be damned if I'm going to be labeled a bigot because I want people to follow the law. And you're not calling me or anybody else who feels like this a bigot because they don't stand up for somebody who got into the country illegally. When we have a legal path and you decide it's not worth the time, effort, and challenge of doing it legally, you want to come in here illegally. We don't want that, and you're calling us bigots. Bigotry to me is not following the law. Bigotry is not doing the things that that you would label somebody as a bigot would do. We're not bigots. We're simply people who want to see the laws followed. Now, that may seem like an old-fashioned notion, but I'm not going to sit back and be labeled like that. And that's what they do. The only thing other than that that they left out of here is racist. Maybe she didn't have time to work it into a sentence or something. But you're a law-abiding citizen. You're minding your own business. You're voting. You're paying taxes. You're a good neighbor, and you're being labeled a bigot if indeed you insist that people have to be here legally. But that's what we got now. This is what we got. And believe me, it's going to get worse because now that Albany is all Democrat all the time, they're going to want to spread their appeal as much as possible to illegals so that eventually they can get amnesty and after that, citizenship illegally on this road. And when they get citizenship, they can vote. And that's the end of our two-party system. So I'd like to know to you, do you agree that Albany should pass the Driver's License and Privacy Act, which would allow this, and your reaction to being called a bigot if you think that people in this country, in this state, in this case, should be here legally? Are you a bigot if you believe that? 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, *930. It is Beach & Company. See, the problem is I very, very much favor, in fact, I don't waver at all, follow the damn law, okay? The law says that they're here illegally, then that's that. But here's the problem. If New York State passes the New York Driver's License and Privacy Act, then that will be the law. So for a person like me who says follow the law, but I do not want people illegal getting the same benefits as people who are here legally, pay their taxes. They're here legally in one way, shape, or form. The avenue is open to anybody. I don't want that law to pass. Because then, what happens? Remember yesterday, we said no matter, somebody said, the problem we're having now is that no matter what you do that's illegal, there's no penalty for it. And that includes people who, lawmakers, like in Albany, if they pass this, then what do you do then? There's no sanctions. Don't we have sanctions for passing something that says it's a, look at the marijuana laws. You know, they can do what they want in the state, but they're still illegal federally. So what's going on with that? So there's no repercussions for it. So we've got state legislatures out of control passing things, feel-good legislation, that violates the law itself. So when I say follow the law, which law am I talking about? The law that they're illegal in the first place? Or the law that says that they have a right to a driver's license in New York State. See, we have a history of inviting illegals to our state. Mayor Bloomberg invited them. Mayor de Blasio invited them. The governor invites them. Our own mayor says that we are a welcoming city. Buffalo is a welcoming city for illegals. So if there's nothing that stands in the way of passing legislation that conflicts with illegals, see, I think once you're in here illegally, all bets are off. Then you go to court to make sure that it's the right thing to do, it's the legal and righteous thing to do, and then you get deported back to where you came from. It's just the way it is. You want to take the other route, we welcome you. Become a legal citizen, and we'll have a ceremony and shake your hand and welcome you as an American citizen. And that's as easy to do as that. It's not an easy process. It's not a cheap process. And it's not a fast process. But it's the right thing. Here's some of the text, then I'll go to the phones. A federal law supersedes a state law. Arrest these leaders for aiding and abetting. Sandy, this is an example of radical, progressive, left-wing agenda in New York State. It's illogical society engineering, resistance to the full law. In believing that we should follow the law makes one a bigot, then I am a proud bigot. Adding and abetting illegals is against the law. Arrest these, quote, leaders. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got a full bank of calls. Stand by for that. Meanwhile, we have a cash code word. Text 72881 with the word over, O-V-E-R, as in John Belushi saying, over, it's not over until I say it's over, O-V-E-R to 72881, and you could win $1,000.